If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. I'm believing God to touch this morning and minister. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And we're believing God to help us today to draw closer to Him. Amen. It is exactly 11:30. Sometime between now and a little while, I'll finish. Be glad I ain't in another one of them series that I could just keep going when I hit the end. Glory. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. For thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. For the joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoils. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and the garment rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, for upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, for henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us, God, with your grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, Merry Christmas. Glory. Amen. See, some of y'all are sitting there and say, what is he going to preach on? Because, see, most of you read that sixth verse and don't read the rest of it. Amen. You're all excited about the son being born, but you don't understand. He was prophesying and talking about a time that was very dreary. 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, God moved in the heart of the prophet Isaiah to write a great detail of the circumstances in which the people were going to be living at the time the Savior was going to come. It wasn't going to be a time of wonder. It wasn't going to be a time of great joy. It wasn't going to be a time of great things happening. But according to Isaiah, it was going to be a dark time. A time when people walked in darkness, a time when things were coming. How many of you understand that right after Isaiah, and somewhere along about 300 years after he wrote this prophecy, God just quit communicating with man? There was no more communicating with man for 400 years. And during that time of darkness, things went awry. Things went bad. Isaiah described it. There's coming a time when people live in darkness and walk in darkness. They will feel fruitless and powerless in their circumstances, beaten down by the choicelessness of this world. The hearts of the people will be convinced they are surrounded and cut off. The ground beneath them will be trembling. Every door before them is closed. And this will be the condition of the people. Amen. He said, what are you talking about? Going to be a time when they don't feel like anybody cares. Going to be a time when somebody needs to reach down and touch them. And it's at a time when we really believe everything's falling apart. He said, but now here comes the light. Hallelujah. Because unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. Right in the midst of the darkness, we find Christmas coming along. Because you see, Christmas is actually the ending of the between. Someone said, preacher, what are you talking about? Between the time God spoke in the Old Testament and the time God starts the New Testament. Could you say amen? The dark time's going to come. The results of generations of oppression. I mean, they've been dominated by everything you could think of. They've had every kind of religion come through and they've adopted some of them and they picked them up. And without even thinking about it, they're worshiping them. Whew. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with us? I'm describing our world right now. We've been infiltrated with every kind of doctrine. We've got Muslims telling us we ought to become Muslims, and we're being told it's okay. Our schools are teaching the Muslim religion and yet telling our kids they can't tell us about creation. I'm sorry, but it's time the church got enough and stood up and said, wait a minute, we are a Christian nation born and founded on Christian principles, and it's time we make them understand there is a light that's fixing to shine into darkness, and that's when this son, this child that was born, is going to come again in like manner. He's going to come with power and great glory. Malachi said it this way in Malachi chapter 4. He said, for behold, the day cometh, they shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as a calf in the stall. He shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, that the statutes of the judgment. For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the day and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest it come the smite the earth with a curse. In the last days, Malachi said, things are going to change. It's going to be bad. Things are going to look bad. Everything's going to go. But there's coming a time when that Son of God is going to come, and he's going to reduce all the wicked to stubble. Amen. The sorcerers are going to be turned aside. The wickedness is going to be turned up down. And those who fear the Lord are going to hear the sounding of the trumpet. Amen. We are in between right now, the time of the coming of the death of Christ and the coming of the Lord. But we're looking forward to the end of the between. Could you say amen? Isaiah prophesied, and he said, oh, it's going to be dark, but the people are going to see a great light. And that light is going to be the time when Jesus is going to come, and he's going to end that between. Could you say amen? The darkness would surrender. Joy and gladness would shine. No longer the silent night. God would speak again. The baby in the manger was the voice of God. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. But that little baby in that manger was going to carry the weight of the whole world on his shoulders and pay the price for the sin of man, that through him we might have everlasting life. And on that night, when that star showed in the sky, it was letting us know there's a new light, there is a new way, there is a new life, and there is a new meaning to everything going on in this world. Could you say amen? Amen. It's a time to look present in one life, the time of the hearts of those like Zechariah, who at 85 years old thought God had forgot him, even though his name literally meant the Lord remembers. The end of between comes to one like Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, who very name carries the meaning, reminding her the Lord keeps his word. But she too at 80 was beginning to wonder if God really kept his word, because they have no children. The in-between radiates in hope in the life of a faithful Simeon, who feared he would die before seeing the dawning light of redemption breaking on the endless horizon of darkness. Between would not last forever. Can I tell you, some of you are between blessings. God blessed you and things have gone wrong, and darkness has come into your life, and problems have come into your heart. And some of you sitting here this morning are entering a Christmas season hopeless, with nothing to hang on to. But can I tell you, there's a light shining today that can get into your life and give you a whole new meaning, and give you a whole new hope, and give you a whole new direction. It can speak to you when nothing else speaks. It can pick you up when nothing else can pick you up. It is the power, the grace, the glory of a God that loved you so much that he will not leave you hopeless. Glory. Glory. Listen, we need to understand between has an end. God came and between ended. All of a sudden everything changed. Listen, this is not a group gift. He didn't die just for the world. We got this idea, oh, yeah, Jesus died for the world. No. When you realize he died for you, that's when things happen in your life. When you don't talk about him being the Savior of the church, he is my Savior. Come on, church. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had a coronation service in my own heart. He's not king of somebody else's world. He's king of my world. He's not the Lord of somebody else's life. He is Lord of my life. He is not somebody else's shepherd. He is my shepherd. And because of that, I got a right to hold on to the fact that no matter what happens, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to be afraid because my God is going to be with me. And the end of the between is coming for those who are hopeless and have nothing to hold on to, because wrapped in that little package, in that baby's den, is a power of love that can change everything in your life when you open it up and apply it to your life. Y'all in trouble. And I've been thinking on this for over a week. Zechariah said, the Lord remembers Elizabeth. The Lord keeps his word. Or the oath of God is what it means. Mary the virgin, physically incapable of possessing a promise. Joseph, his circumstances beyond his control that he didn't ask for. The shepherd, socially insignificant, inconsequential. Simeon trying to hold on just to see if the promise. But at the end of the between, says Zechariah, the Lord remembers and you are not forgotten. The end of the between to Elizabeth said, the Lord keeps his word and you are not left out. The end of the between says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. You are the favorite of the Lord. The end of the between said to the shepherd, you are not insignificant and you are not inconsequential. You are a child of God and I died for you. I came to this world for you. I didn't come for anybody else but you. And when we realize that, we realize how important we are to the presence and the power of a God that loves us so much. And to a Simeon it says, you will not die before you see the promise of redemption. Amen. The promise would declare, though life in God cannot penetrate the light of joy and gladness long before anyone else knows, before anyone else sees, his kingdom has no end, no limit. It respects no boundaries of darkness. Could you say amen? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government is going to rest upon his shoulders. Amen. He is going to sit on the throne of his father David forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Because of his kingdom, there is no end. He cannot be impeached by the college of the angels. He cannot be impeached by the people trying to get him off the throne. ACLU can't put him down. The Muslims can't take him out. The Buddhists can't put him away. I mean, the atheists can't even get rid of him, because they've got to realize something's there, because he's going to reign forever and forever and forever and forever. Could you say it? I'm walking down there, riding down the road the other day. I saw a sign and I thought it was a church member wrote it. Said, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. Glory. Then I realized it's atheists putting them up. Glory. They're actually putting campaign around America. All I want for Christmas is to skip church. We got church folks doing that on a regular basis. They don't need a sign. Glory. Oh, yeah, I still get a little viral at times. I mean, I'm still me. Glory. I almost put on a sign outside, how would you feel if everybody forgot your birthday? Glory. It may be up before Christmas is over. But we get so caught up in the commercialism of Christmas, we forget what it's all about. It's not about presents and who's going to get what and who got what. It's all about that little babe who came wrapped in swaddling clothes, the gift of God that broke the bondage of darkness to set us free. And thank God that light came and the light shone into darkness. And those that believe on him can then have the light that does not go away, that will not disappear, that can't be put out. It's a light that cannot be extinguished by the things of this world. It doesn't matter who it is. He's there forever and forever and forever. If I believe in him, I'm going to live forever. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Whew. Oh, isn't that awesome? Well, preacher, we got to crown him king. He's already king. Oh, but we've got to acknowledge him as Lord. He's already Lord. All that we do when we crown him king in our heart and acknowledge him Lord, we just get in the group. Glory. Come on, church. Why? Because my Bible said God hath already highly exalted him. And give him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that he is Lord God omnipotent who reigneth forever and forever and forever. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And every tongue confess that he is God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. There's coming a time when those atheists are going to wish they hadn't skipped church. There's coming a time when the Muslims are going to wake up and realize nobody's listening when they pray. There's coming a time when the Buddhists are going to realize I may have nothing down here, but if I would believe on him, I can have it all. Could you say amen? Glory. You see, preacher, you're really getting to listen. He shall be called wonderful. Church, do you realize he was wonderful in his birth? There has never been born like this baby was. My, my. When Alex was born, I thought everybody ought to know it. I've been at that hospital since 5 o'clock the next morning, the morning before. And they're about to give up, and they decided he was coming. 5:30 in the morning, they told me I had a boy. Glory. Doctor kept saying, might be a girl. I said, no, it's a boy. He kind of got mad at me one time. He said, what makes this a year? I said, what I prayed for. I found out he was born. I called a preacher. Well, I was going to tell him two things. One, my son was born. The other, and I wasn't coming to preach that morning. He wasn't as happy about him being born as I was. Glory. I figured I need to call him in time in case he needed to get something to preach. He said, you're not coming? I said, no, I'm not coming. I'm going to be here at this hospital. My son's here. Hello? I said, I'm going to leave this afternoon and go preach, but I'm starting a revival somewhere. I've got to work. But you were just somebody I pumped in there, and I'm staying at church. I'm staying with my son. I'm going to stay at this hospital. I'm excited. I mailed out all kind of acknowledgments. Y'all remember that. First child, when you go crazy. They didn't have them kind of stamps you don't have to lick back then. It was 2 days before I could talk right. I licked so many stamps, my tongue went, I bought 2 boxes of bubblegum cigars. I was throwing them to everybody. Some of them was pink, but I didn't care. They run out, so I got what they had. Glory. They said, it's a girl. I said, no, it's a boy. Just smoke it. Just chew it. Glory. They could smoke it if they wanted to, but a little rough. Glory. I mean, I want everybody to know. I was calling folks, mailing stuff. But, you know, no matter what I did, I could never touch what happened that night. This little babe's born. He's laying in a manger over there in a stall. And next thing you know, there's an angelic choir sitting in the heavens, and they're singing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And right in the middle of that song, one of them steps out and goes down in the field to a bunch of shepherds, insignificant people, and said, hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. I know y'all hear the singing, but it's all right, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a child who is your Savior, who is going to save his people from their sins. Church, do you understand? The wise men were told he was coming, but they didn't get directions. They drove at night, had to ask somebody how to get there, like they never got to the place. The shepherds were told exactly how to find the place. You know why? They couldn't remember directions. Hello? Come on, church, smile. That's my sermon. Amen. The reality is, everybody in that town could hear it. He was born. The sun has come. It was scattered through the heavens. Amen. But notice this, he was wonderful in his life. Ain't nobody ever lived in this world like this guy. I mean, he had every problem we've had. The Bible said he knows where we are, because we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feelings and infirmities of his people. But in all things, he was tempted like as we, except without sin. He went through everything we went through. So the next time you think you can't handle it, realize you're not the only one that's been there. Somebody's been down that road before you. He walked down that road. He took that temptation and he cast it off and said, I can do it without sin. And therefore, because I am without sin, I can purchase the lives of those who have fallen to sin. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, he was wonderful in his life. Never a man spoke like him. Well, that's understandable. He's the Word incarnate. But notice this. He was wonderful in his death. I don't know about y'all, but if somebody been going to crucify me, I probably wouldn't have been so nice about it. See, some of y'all act like, well, I wouldn't do nothing. I've been screaming and kicking and hollering. They told me to tote something. I said, you on your own, dude. I'm not toting that. You going to kill me? Do it here. But I'm not carrying it over so you can do it. Come on, church. Smile. Some of y'all act like, oh, I just pick it up and walk. I figure you going to kill me. I ain't doing nothing. You on your own. Come on, church. But notice this. He helped them. He went right along with it. They beat him to the point he was almost dead. And yet he still took the patibulum on his shoulders and carried it up that hill. Because he said, I must needs die. Because if I don't die, they can't live. And he understood that. And because he understood his destiny, he understood where he was headed, he understood that there's going to be a young man going to stumble into a church on a Sunday night in 1974 whose life is going to be in darkness. He's going to need to see the light. And the only way for him to see the light is that I make it to the top of that hill and I let him pierce my hands and I let him pierce my side and I let him move in my life. And if I do that and I die, then I come forth from the grave in me. He can live. And I can say, I'm he that was dead, yet now I'm alive. And I'm going to live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live. In his birth is my significance. In his life is my example. In his death is my redemption. In his resurrection is my hope. He was wonderful. But notice he didn't stop there. He didn't say he's just going to be wonderful. He's going to be our counselor. Church, some of us need counseling, and it ain't going to be at some psychiatric place. Some of y'all paying dudes $100 an hour to listen to you talk about getting whooped when you had on diapers. When you need to go to God, talk to him 15 minutes. He'll change your life. Glory. I'm catching flack on that. No, he won't write you no prescription for no pills. You don't need them. You need God. Amen. That can come back up here. I know I have to have them. Not if you really get a hold to God. I don't know why, but I can remember a time when we didn't run to the doctor every time we got a sniffle. Number one, it was too far. Number two, you couldn't afford it. Hello? If we had insurance, I don't remember it. I remember all the home remedies. Mustard, plaster, that wasn't for you. They put that junk on you, nobody come in the room. There wasn't no way they'd catch what you had. Glory. You didn't even want to stay there. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, we got to go get counseling for this. We got to go get counseling for that. I had somebody tell me the other day, said, the son done something to his sister, and the woman called the counselor and said, what'd I do? He looked at me and said, what would you do? I said, I told him to whoop him. What happened to me? Come on, church. Hey, see something right now? You need to read Dr. Spock. I read the whole story. His son committed suicide at 21. He ain't a good parent. Glory. Come on, church. I didn't whip my son. I just let him do what he wanted to. All the way up till he killed himself. I'm going to beat mine and hope they're going to live right. Come on, church. I didn't listen to some guy that raised no kids. Miss Buna raised 18. She told me how to raise my kids. She said, whoop them every day, even if they don't need it. It'll help them. Lord. I'm not sure I wanted that advice, but you see, she gave it to me. I didn't go to marriage counseling. If I need to know something about marriage, I went to Ivy and Anna. They married 60-something years. The only thing separated them was death. Now, that's marriage counselors. Yeah. Alex had a teacher decide to be a marriage counselor. She'd been engaged 3 times. Ain't never got married, but she's going to tell people how to be married. Glory. She read a book. Come on, church. I don't need somebody to give me what they think they know. When I've got a God who is my counselor, who can help me make decisions, that's going to carry me through eternity. Come on, church. Amen. Do you realize if we ask God before we do anything, we won't get in half the trouble we get into? Oh, I got to hurry. It's almost 12. It's 11:45. I love my watch. Somebody told me, why don't you get a new one? Because it won't work like that one. Glory. Glory. See, church, the reality is we need a counselor that helps us. We're all the time doing stuff without asking him. But if we'd asked him, he'd keep us from making stupid decisions. If you asked who you ought to marry, you won't marry the wrong person. Ooh. If you asked about that car you want so bad you can't stand it, he might tell you you don't need it. I'm going to quit. I can see some of you getting uncomfortable. The idea is if you ask God, he will be your counselor. He will help you with decisions. And I'd hate to know I made one without talking to him, especially in the day in which we're living. Wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Isn't it awesome to know I serve the God that's the greatest God of all? I mean, we got all kind of gods in this world. Most of them's dead and buried. I'd hate to know I had to sit outside some guy's grave and hope he'd give me peace. But that's what Buddhists do. They want to go to Peking so they can get outside the grave of Buddha so they can find peace and rub his belly. Glory. I rub my own and pray to God. Glory. Makes more sense to me. Muslims tonight, the greatest thing that happened, you get to go to Mecca, crawl through the place, bump the carpet with your head and kiss the floor because the bones of Muhammad are buried there. But now if you don't want to stay in Mecca, you could go to Jerusalem because that's where he ascended into heaven. You know, I have a problem with a God that left his bones here. Something wrong with his teaching. My God left, took his bones with him. Hello? I've been to the grave. It's empty. I don't go there and bump my head on the floor and hope to find peace with God because I know he's alive and he is anywhere I need him to be because he's everywhere at all times. He has all power which is in heaven and earth. He knows everything. I don't have to inform him of anything. He knows everything going on in my life. He knows about things I don't know about. And because of that, he's the great counselor and the mighty God. Could you say amen? Amen. The everlasting Father. And I done hit that, so I'm not going any farther with that, but he's going to last forever. But the great thing about it is that little baby is the Prince of all peace. No matter how bad things get, if he's in your life, you're steady in the storm because the rock don't shake. God doesn't throw us out. We make it because of who he is. Listen, the night when Judean sky, the mystic stars dispensed its light, a blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he might have sight. That night when shepherds heard the song, a host of angelic choir was near. A deaf man stirred in slumber's spell and dreamed that one day he could hear. That night when o'er the newborn babe, the tender Mary rose to lean. A loathsome leper smiled in his sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night when the manger lay, the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in his sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. That little child brought peace that no one in this world could ever understand unless they experience him. But if that light gets into your life, darkness has to go. And when darkness leaves, there's a peace that can only come from him, a hope that only he can give. Would you stand with me all over the house? The greatest gift that has ever been given on Christmas was not wrapped in beautiful paper, but in rags and laid in a manger to let an insignificant world know you're significant to me. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your sweet peace that touches this house. God, move on us today and minister to us with your love. For it is in Jesus' name I pray.